would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Your name's alcoholic if everybody knows your name in a bar.
We're not going to elaborate on that, Brian. Do not say a word about that line.
No, can we talk about the fact that this song is for depressed people who come to a bar?
Yeah. Hey, do you want to watch a show where depressed alcoholics come every day of their miserable lives and just bitch about their problems? Then tune into Cheers, because that's what you're going to get.
Could you imagine, too, if you walked into a bar and you're like, why the fuck was my mail getting delivered so late? Damn it, my mailman is right there in the corner. Motherfucker.
And he's
really
drunk as balls.
Oh, yeah.
He would pound beers on the regular.
Cliff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cliff was a beast, man. Cliff and Norm. Those guys took down the bar.
They looked like they could.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The entire time. Man.
And also, it bothered me the fact that every day of the week it was packed. With the same people. Like, if Frasier would go there to get away from his wife, no wonder his ass got divorced in his spinoff show.
Yeah.
And they didn't even put her in that series either.
No, I don't. Yeah, yeah.
No, she was in it for a little bit.
Was she in Frasier?
Yeah, maybe. Was she? Popped up. I think she may have popped up in a little
bit. See, I think they just talked about her, but she was never an actual person, like an actual actress.
Because I mean, she popped up in Cheers, and she was always like the stuck up,
right?
Like
the psychiatrist.
Yeah,
she was the psychiatrist.
Although they both were, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was too.
And you should think the psychiatrist would be able to diagnose alcoholism in everyone at the bar.
Yeah,
or at least take them on as new clients and get your fucking business booming.
Can we also talk about the fact that the weakest introduction of a character ever, it has to go to Woody Harrelson as the pen pal of the old bartender that passed away?
Was that how it started?
Yeah, he was
a
really
pen pal. Backstory?
Oh my
god.
And
he came to visit. He came to visit his pen pal. What was his name? Like Coach or...
Yeah, it was Coach. I think it was Coach.
Yeah, and...
The original.
And they gotta tell him like, oh, well, he passed away last month. And he was just like, my life is over. My pen pal's dead. Guess I'll take his job.
Time to start
here.
Serving liquor.
I'm going to go meet my 60-year-old pen pal. Okay.
You know the only place that's acceptable is in a bar of drunks.
Yeah, yeah.
True story.
You know what's a really concerning line in that theme song, too, is all the troubles are all the same, or whatever. Not all troubles are the same. I'll tell you that right now. If somebody showed up with any problem above alcoholism in that bar, that series would be an entirely different story.
Well, you know what, Brett? You divorced with 3 kids and being broke because you can't afford your alimony payments is the exact same as me deciding between a 5-star and 4-star hotel when I visit Thailand.
Troubles are the same, actually.
Exactly.
Now that I'm realizing
same.
It, yeah.
Could you imagine if you walked into an actual bar and everyone yelled, "Hey, what's up, Brian?" How would you feel about yourself?
Well, when I think about it, it would actually make me feel pretty good.
I'd feel like $1 million, but I think, like, yeah, going home, it might be different.
But, you know, it's just to jump in, it's funny that you asked that because I can't think of a bar that I've been to more than twice in, like, the last year.
Really?
You know?
Do you just not go out?
Well, no, I go out, but I go to different places.
Yeah.
Like, I never go to the same
place. You're a refined
place.
Adult.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Well, I guess we don't frequent the same...
It's just different...
Drinking holes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. There is a drinking hole down the corner from my place, Livewire, that I think they somewhat know my name.
They know
your
name at Endzone.
That's true. Shit. Damn it. I'm already up Schitt's Creek on this one, guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I feel like going to a bar where everyone's there every day and they all know your name, it's like being the popular kid in like the special education class. Like, they love you here doesn't say a lot about you because drunk people usually love anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Or the like the most positive person in the Alcoholics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous group.
Let's be honest, no one's going to Alcoholics Anonymous in that.
Yeah. But I mean that could be the kind of a similar scenario. Yeah. Anyway, though, we are Pop Not Soda.
Woo!
Episode 28, bringing it to you. Thanks for listening in again.
Yeah, we're almost as old as you and Brian.
Fuck your face, Dan.
True story.
Thanks for
dropping guess
that.
What? We don't need a bar to drink either.
Yeah, cheers to that. See what I did there?
Pun intended.
Stuff
that in your fat head, Ted Danson.
Welcome to our brand new episode. If you hear what may sound like white noise, that is because we are
being contacted by an alien life form.
Yeah. This is not contact. We are blasting AC because it is ungodly hot at this hour. It is like 91 degrees after 8 p.m. in San Diego, and we don't know how to live.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit.
And this air conditioning is not conditioning whatsoever.
Air is out of shape.
It is.
It is not conditioned.
It's the Vince Wilfork of air conditions, okay?
Yes.
This is practice squad air right now, not 53-man roster air.
This is the Donald Brown of air conditionings.
Ooh. That's a stinger. Donald Brown listens to this episode, I know
he does. Well, probably when he's supposed to be playing. If you are in a hotter location, please don't make fun of us. I know we have listeners in Texas, and even though...
Arizona, probably.
Yeah, I know the humidity out there makes it like 20 degrees hotter than here, but we're not used to it, okay? And we paid too much money to live in this much heat.
San Diego sucks right now. I'll tell you, any region of San Diego sucks right now. Like, get out of Dodge. It is too damn hot. The temperature is too damn hot in this place.
Too damn hot. So we apologize in advance for the little bit of white noise you may pick up. And if you didn't hear it before I said anything, well, fuck me. I'm sorry. Now that's all you're going to pay attention to.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding him, Dan.
Yeah, but at least our balls will be damp and not dripping wet. So that's a plus.
Forged to our legs after this. Because you guys are staying on like a pleather couch right now, so...
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
But that's why you wear the slider shorts. In times like these, Dan, in times like these, you come prepared.
Brian's suited up like he's about to go to a Little League game right now. So
why has it got to be a Little League game?
Yeah. Well, no, he's got the slider shorts on.
Why'd you go from him talking about his balls to a Little League game?
How are you the one making this game?
I'm picking up 6 foot, $5 foot longs for the whole team. Or I should say foot long sandwiches.
Oh, no.
Fuck you, Jared.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been a tough one. It's made it hard to think, hard to do anything except really, like, sit on the couch with the lights off and watch TV.
The problem is when the heat is this ridiculously hot, people go crazy. And patience, like, doesn't exist, I think. Like, I see it on the road right now where people are just, like, fucking maniacs on the road right now.
And you know what's interesting is I'll bet all those people that are losing their minds on the road don't have AC in their car. You know?
Yeah.
Because you can't roll down the windows and be comfortable.
No, they got a fan like the taxi driver from Independence Day just blowing down on them right in the corner of their car right there. But yeah, nobody is happy right now unless they are 200% in air conditioning that actually works.
Yeah, central air.
I hate you, my house right now.
I know someone on Facebook posted it was so hot in their apartment that they stayed a night at a hotel.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't sleep.
Yeah, I would not doubt it.
And you know what? Her problem... all the same. It's just all of ours.
Yeah.
Because
cheers.
All trouble's the same.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it back, Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Appreciate that one.
That's what I do. Just call me Becker. Speaking of CBS, actually. Because boom. Right there. Stephen Colbert. Premiered last night on The Late Show. And I did not stay up to watch it. I like that. I did not stay up to watch it, which I do feel bad. But I did watch all the clips on YouTube. As any reasonable adult should.
Yeah, it's what we do.
And I gotta say, I was impressed. I know that we watched a couple clips before the show. Maybe don't feel exactly the same way. But I am really looking forward to his change of pace that he's bringing, because his show seems to really carry over a lot of what he was doing at the Colbert Report. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. I mean, I watched it with you earlier with Brian also, and I think he's found his niche, and he's, you know, magnifying it to a, you know, a very, very, very wide audience now. What killed me at the beginning of it was watching the monologue, because I think a lot of that stuff is just, it's a writing team that does not fit with Stephen Colbert, and it's one-liners and things like that where I'm like, all right, man, you're not used to this. You got your hand awkwardly in your pocket, you know, you're throwing your one hand up and down, and it doesn't work for the Stephen Colbert character, or I think his persona after that character. But beyond that, the clips that I saw, I mean, he's keeping the character up, which is kind of crazy that he's bringing that into late night television to a broader audience and that people are actually accepting it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree that the monologue was a little corny, but you know, when you come in to take over as the host of the late show, you got to keep tradition alive, you know, in some sense.
Do a little salute.
Right, exactly. And everybody does it. So you kind of just have to fall into that same mold. I do want to know if he brought his writing team with him from the Colbert Report. We'll research that and get back to you. Because I think beyond the monologue, which was, I think, relatively short for, you know, a new host first episode, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But I think the rest of the show really did feel like the Colbert Report, but just on steroids, because you have this bigger budget and, you know, just so much more room to play at CBS as opposed to Comedy Central. But in that same sense, you're still, you know, trying to figure out what the show is going to be, because you can't keep it as politically fueled as the Colbert Report.
Oh, no, not at all.
Absolutely not. So you have to kind of water it down a little bit, so it's gonna, you know, be him finding that sweet spot. And even says it too, like the first thing he says is, this is gonna be my time to find the real Stephen Colbert. So I think what he really means is, okay, let's see what version of myself I have to play to get the most public approval and the highest ratings.
Yep.
Yeah, I am all for him bringing the Colbert character to late night, because it's so unique, it's so well done, and it's just so hilarious. I have loved the Colbert Report since it started, and I think his humor is presented in a way where you don't actually understand how smart it is. Like, you don't have to get the joke to actually laugh at it, because he's so over the top with other parts of the jokes, where he could be talking about a serious message.
Yeah, the satire is magnified to such a high level, yeah, consistently, you can't really pick apart.
And he's so fine being goofy. Like, and I think that's refreshing too. Like, I mean, if you look at the other hosts that are currently doing late night talk shows, you have Jimmy Fallon, who I think has done very well in what he does, because he's just he appeals to everybody. Like, you don't have to be very interested and very committed to it, but if you watch a clip of the Tonight Show, you'll probably like it. And he's best friends with Justin Timberlake, so props to him.
Yeah, ironically, he has almost like a half-assed, like, Norm MacDonald approach to hosting late night. Like, it's almost like, I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, I'm here, you know.
And I think the best thing for him is he has Steve Higgins as, like, his, not sidekick co-host, but they complement each other so well, and Steve Higgins is such a great comedy writer that it elevates. And I think that's where it really picks up when he was on the, like, the Late Late Show or whatever, or the Late Show. Like, that's what really elevated it.
He also has The Roots,
yes,
as his fucking house band,
which is amazing.
The Roots,
and they're hilarious, and they, like, Questlove and I forget one of the other guys, when they reenact scenes from, like, The Bachelor or The Real Housewives, and just word for word, is perfection. It's probably the best, one of my favorite bits they do.
Yeah.
You have Jimmy Kimmel, who has very good segments. Like, I can't tell you the time where I've been impressed by Jimmy Kimmel's jokes, but the segments that his show puts on, like the mean tweets, the Halloween candy with the kids, the fake news where, like, they see if people will believe anything they tell him on the street. Right. Like, those segments are effective.
When he wants to get ratings, he can get ratings.
Yeah, and it, and his show, it just reminds me of a like a slow roast the mm-hmm. entire time. It's just a mild roast that's happening the entire time for whatever subject he's doing, you know. And he's good at it.
Yeah.
But nothing ever really changes.
And I think also what helps him too is that he's neighbors and like really good friends with John Krasinski, and the fact that they can and Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And the fact that him and Matt Damon are good friends and have that continuous joke about him hating Matt Damon is probably my favorite thing. And then Conan is the vet now. He's the longest running late night host. He's the only one on cable, really. And does what he wants to do, and I love it. Like, I mean, if we don't touch, like, the John Oliver or, like, the Daily Shows of the world, Conan has the most freedom out of anybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he's earned it, too.
Definitely. That was some bullshit that NBC pulled.
Yeah.
And fuck Jay Leno. But I really love his gaming segments.
Yeah, those are great.
Because he admits that he's terrible and doesn't understand this, but, like, let's have a go. And I had some friends from high school that actually worked for him as, like, interns and stuff, and they said, like, it's the best place to work because he's so personable.
Yeah.
Well, also, the Walker Texas Ranger lever.
Yes.
To this day, you know, probably some of the funniest moments in TV history, in my opinion. And I say that by my amount of LOLing IRL, laughing out loud in real life. For those over the age of 35 that are listening to this.
And you could almost see that Colbert was trying that same kind of gimmick with the Mentalist. I think, yeah, you saw that whole Mentalist thing happening, and it was like, all right, we get what's happening. Can we get on to the Colbert part?
And I think what's funny, too, is though, like, when he was at Colbert, this happened with the Daft Punk controversy, where Daft Punk was supposed to come on to his show, and then, what is it? Universal Comcast or whatever, Viacom, they were like, no, you can't, because we're actually going to have them on MTV.
Right.
And they haven't performed anywhere, so they can't come on your show. And you can't play their music, and you can't promote them, because we want to get ratings on our other channel. And he made this whole bit for a couple weeks about how he was going to have Colbert Palooza, and how he was going to do it anyway, and then he just made that Lucky video.
Yep.
With all the celebrities, and did not have permission from Viacom to do that.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that he's okay with doing stuff that may get him in trouble, that was what he was making fun of, and I'm all for that.
Yeah. The funny thing that you're tapping onto something too. I think the funny thing about this is to accept Colbert into like a cable distribution late night show is actually kind of funny, because if this thing doesn't work out, and I think we all are hoping it does, but if this thing doesn't work out, they're going to have the biggest pain in their ass on their hands trying to deal with this guy for his contract.
Well, I also think if it doesn't work out, dude, and someone, Foss, will finally come, like, get rid of Arsenio and bring on Colbert, because he's so good at what
he
does.
Whoa. Let's not talk crazy.
Wait, does Foss still have Arsenio? I think they got rid of him again.
They probably did. Yeah. I have no idea.
But
and
I'm
fuck
saying,
our city,
like,
hall. I don't care.
You just woo before this episode.
I did.
Yeah. So.
He's so effective and he's so popular.
Yeah.
I think it's actually very interesting that CBS chose Colbert, because he's non-traditional, and CBS is known for people in retirement homes watching their network, and that's why they have so many ratings. Not necessarily like our age.
What are you talking about? Young people watch JAG all the time.
I think that harkens back to what Brian was saying earlier, though, is you could tell that there are certain, like, subtle salutes to, okay, like, we got to cater to this audience. We got to do a cheesy monologue that talks about the most relevant pulp shit that's happened in the last week. Let's do one-liners, and then move on to what I actually want to do.
And I say, in a month, fuck it. Bring back the Eagle. Bring back them coming to him at his desk in three different camera views, and him throwing out one liners.
It could very well happen.
Yeah,
it could very well happen.
Because, I mean, what's the worst thing you lose is people, again, in their 70s who miss Johnny Carson.
Yep.
Like, you have three very intelligent, very pop culture centric young people right now saying that we don't care for a monologue like that.
Yeah.
But are we the people that CBS is targeting.
On YouTube, we are.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Not via Hulu Plus. Because you guys don't have that shit on there. I tried to look it up before we got
it. CBS.
What are you guys doing?
Right, NBC.
CBS is different.
Yeah, what are you guys doing, though? That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
give the people what they want.
I feel like Rick James right now. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Us clips.
Oh, you don't want to know. You want to know what's ridiculous?
Oh.
What is ridiculous, Dan?
Did you hear about Ronda Rousey? Ronda Rousey.
Oh, she's ridiculous on many levels in
all
a good way.
All in good ways.
Yep, in a very...
R squared? R to the R?
R to the R.
What happened, Dan?
It was announced today that she will be starring in a feature film, a remake of a very cult popular 80s film. That starred the very famous late Patrick Swayze.
Ooh, R.I.P.
Yeah, pour some out for the Swayze.
Swayze, I got you.
None other than playing Cooler in Roadhouse.
Ooh, good Roadhouse. Nice, nice.
Now, I personally have mixed feelings because I love Ronda Rousey. She's fucking...
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't nowadays? She deserves all of the popularity and praise that she's currently receiving. But I just really have a hard time swallowing these really cult classic movie remakes that maybe shouldn't be touched because their popularity stems from like how unique or silly or controversial or... You know, whatever it is that makes this movie spark. So, to try and take that, you know, energy that came from the initial movie that wasn't popular in theaters at all.
Oh, no.
You know, only became popular when it was played on USA for 30 times in 30 days. You know, are you going to be able to carry that over into, you know, a new feature film, a remake, and then also just completely flip the script with a female lead?
And you bring up a good point too, because you see these remakes that happen all the time where I was trying to think about it and I was trying to look it up right now, but what was the Rock remake where they were at the lumberyard and they were kind of
Walking Tall?
Walking Tall, right. I mean, you see those kind of movies and you're like, okay, this is a 60s movie, the story foundation of this. Why the hell are you shoving the most popular person at the time of this month into the movie? And I think that's what's somewhat happening with Ronda Rousey right now, is they're just trying to put her into whatever is next coming on the wave. All right, put Ronda Rousey
in. Well, I think we can agree that this is at least better than The Scorpion King.
Yeah.
One, two, or three?
They made multiple?
Oh, they made several Scorpion.
About to blow your mind, Dan, but they're all dog shit, so they're all horrible. That was a trick question, sorry.
I would rather watch Two Girls, One Cup for 90 minutes than Scorpion King 1, 2, and or 3.
See?
We can make this happen on a podcast.
Ooh.
You really want
to... I immediately regret making that claim.
Sweet B. Owen 619. See if you can get him to accept that challenge. Anyway, I think you're right. The Rock was one of the most popular pop culture figures, but not a movie star yet. And he wasn't coming from a TV background. So I think he did jump at whatever role he could get, really, that he could display some sort of acting ability. Because, like, he was great in Be Cool, but that was a side role. Then he had The Scorpion King, and then he had Walking Tall, where he's still... playing the guy that he looks like, the 6'6", like, big military athlete, gonna whoop your ass with a 2x4 dude. I actually think that his career didn't change until he was in The Game Plan, which is a kid's movie, but I think that really...
I did like the movie with...
Sean William Scott?
Yeah, Sean William...
The Rundown.
The Rundown was good. That's also a remake, isn't it?
I believe so.
Don't know. All I know is Christopher Walken's in it.
Yes, Christopher Walken is it.
Yes.
But I think with Ronda, I think one, it's not just a push to capitalize on Ronda Rousey's popularity. I think it's also a push to be like, yo, let's get more women in film, because they deserve it.
Yeah.
Because they can do great. And wouldn't it be cool if, like, you know, like they're doing the Ghostbusters, but if they were female? So why not Roadhouse with, like, the most badass woman on the planet? But the one thing that I'm, like, thinking about is the Roadhouse is brutal, especially that last fight scene where he rips out the dude's neck with his bare hands. Everyone forgets that. They just say it's like, oh, he's a bouncer at a bar. It's called Roadhouse.
Oh, no, shit goes down,
like,
in that movie.
The dude, yeah. Like, that's one of the most intense movie kills I've ever seen.
Until we talk about the movie that Brian's going to review.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We'll get there later.
After the break.
That's called a tease. But, I mean, for the time, like, so what do you have Ronda do? Because I think you've never really seen a female protagonist in a hardcore league like that. Like, you've seen them in, like, maybe Machete or horror movies, but never, like, the Enforcer.
Well, let's, like, one movie that I have seen somebody like that in, Gina Carano, Haywire. Haywire.
Yeah.
And Steven Soderbergh directed a good movie, things like that or whatever, but there is a problem when you realize that if you put an ensemble cast with somebody that cannot act, the ensemble cast just, like, outshadows. I mean, there's just something awkward to watch the entire time during the movie. And they can nail down the action scenes fine, but everything else is just like, man, can I get through this? Like Jeff Gerstmann says, it's like trying to watch reverse porn, kind of. You're just like, okay, like, or no, what am I talking about? Never mind.
That is not a segment later in the show.
That is not.
Although I am going to Google reverse porn as soon as I have an opportunity.
It's kind of like watching wrestling, where basically you want to skip through the action and just watch the stories. Which is, so I would say Haywire is almost porn watching then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I 100% agree.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Don't care about
the
storyline.
It's regular porn.
I messed up. Yeah,
don't
messed
Google
up.
Reverse porn. It's just regular porn.
I messed
porn.
Up the wording on that. Yes, it is like regular porn, where you're just trying to go like, okay, like, yes, I understand you put lines in this. I don't care. Could you just get to the next action scene? Okay, good. That ended.
Give me the money shot. And now I want another one. This time, Michael Fassbender.
Rip your throat out. But I mean, that's what that's what I'm worried about with this whole Ronda Rousey thing. Is there? You guarantee that they're going to put a lot of these good actors in this movie.
But she's not a bad actress.
No, she's not a bad actress. But compare her against some people that can actually act.
She's not the type of person that I feel confident leading a movie.
Dan, I saw Entourage. Compared to those shitty actors that lead that movie, she sucked as an actress. And
Expendables,
well,
as well.
I won't say that. Because
I mean, that's what
think,
it is. Is
I
like,
also think, like, I think if you compare it to The Rock, it's not kind of like, it could be, one, she's not refined as an actor, but two, you can't look at a shitty script and be like, make it gold. Especially when you have all those people in the Entourage movie, and it was subpar. It was... There's Entourage episodes that are better than that. And
So Brett's example of Haywire is absolutely perfect. And I think that this remake of Roadhouse is going to be exactly the same, where it's going to be really tough to get through the actual scenes, but the fighting scenes are going to be unbelievable, and it's going to make it worthwhile to have to stomach those bad acting pieces because the action product is so good.
Porn watching.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's going to be porn.
And I think...
And if Ronda Rousey was in a porn, I would buy 3 copies.
R-squared.
I think...
That's the title.
The one way you can try and help prevent Ramrod. That... Now you just got me thinking like Super Trooper parody. Is if Ronda is working with the writing team, like The Rock does now, for the movie season. Because the reason why I say that...
Dan,
I'm not
that's
saying,
ridiculous.
I'm not saying it's
going to
work out.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
But what
if
I mean
you're
is
go
like, they write the character for her, not just write a character
and, you're
and
saying
plug
that,
Ronda Rousey in it.
And you're saying that beyond acting chops, if they don't have, if they lack
no,
acting
not,
chops, they actually understand how to write a screenplay?
No. I don't mean like her writing it. I mean that the writers take into account... Who
like who they actually
it,
are,
and they need to
okay.
write it for
I can understand that.
Unless they make her a autistic mute like Drive. Ryan Gosling's character in Drive.
She could be. She could be.
I just can't picture a feature film where Ronda Rousey's acting carries me from beginning to end.
I'll tell you, I know why she's probably doing this film. And it's because there have been lots of rumors, and very much on the internet, they have pushed for Ronda Rousey to be Captain Marvel. Because she kind of looks like Captain Marvel, she's badass, and Captain Marvel's badass. And so, Marvel will not put an actor like that in a movie. You need to demonstrate the fact that you can act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it's part of the motivation of her to actually get into other feature-length films, because I think there is a goal in it. Because again, like she said, she needs to go find something else to do other than fighting, because she doesn't want to do this for the rest of her
life. No, and I mean, good for her. She's venturing into...
Trust me, she's not the best actor.
She's venturing into industries that, yeah, she could probably strike gold with, but...
Not everybody's The Rock.
Yeah, as a dedicated movie fan, it's going to be very, very painful to watch, I think.
Yeah, and my last thought on this is, if she does want to become a good actor, she needs to do what The Rock did and not wrestle and just completely focus on acting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the same tenacity and work ethic that she puts into her MMA, if she... put that into acting, I'm sure she could vastly improve in a short period of time, but you have to remember, she's still the best, you know, arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter on Earth, whether that be men or women, and she's obviously not going to detract from that being her main focus, so acting is just kind of like a side thing she's got going on.
See, now you're making me feel like an asshole, because you make me think that my expectations are very high for somebody that completely dedicates herself 24/7 to her actual successful business. And now I'm going like, well, yeah, what time do you have outside of that to actually make sure that you're doing this properly too?
This is the cautionary tale I have for Ronda Rousey. Don't look at The Rock. Look at John Cena. Look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look at The Miz. Look at The Big Show. Look at Randy Orton. He plays a horror monster. It's not hard to fuck up.
I knew who it was. It was Kane.
What I'm saying is, if you look at these wrestlers who have tried to go into the movie business, you've got one that's successful.
Mind you, too, these guys
are... John Cena and the Marine.
Yeah. Mind you, too, these guys are...
Also isn't bad, because Littlefinger's the villain.
Yeah. But mind you, too, these guys are actually somewhat trained in acting.
They get acting lessons.
Yeah, they get acting lessons. Like, I mean, this is an MMA fighter. Rampage. Put Rampage into a movie and let's... I mean, we... I guess
he was. It was called A-Team, and it was terrible.
Yes.
Yeah, A-Team. Yeah.
I mean, and then I guess you could also think about... There is, you know, the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper. There is the Hulk Hogan, movies. There is Edge on Haven. Very good. And now he's going to be on Flash. There are, like, very few success stories. But it just doesn't happen because you are who you are. It takes work, like Brian said. And The Rock has put a shit ton of work into everything he does. And that has gone and translated into show business. And it's not an easy thing to do. Not everyone can act.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with that. But I will say, I'm all for seeing Ronda Rousey kick people's asses on screen.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, do I pay $80 and watch her end somebody's career in 30 seconds? Or do I pay $15.95 and be entertained for 90 minutes?
Hey, you know, maybe in a movie, she'll actually lose a fight. You can't pay to see that anywhere else.
I mean, she will in the beginning,
yeah.
And then obviously she's going to train harder, and then be able to defeat everyone in the
Hopefully
end.
A montage with some great 80s theme music.
Oh.
Either that, or I'm guessing it takes place in the coffee shop.
Brew house? That's what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's actually a pet store.
It's a pet store. Sorry.
She bounces lesbian cat ladies.
Do you think she gets in a fight because she doesn't have enough money to pay for pizza?
I don't think Ronda Rousey eats pizza.
Absolutely not. She hasn't eaten a carb in
She would punch somebody in the face if they tried to deliver pizza to her house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where the fight happened.
Hey, I can smell bread on your breath. Here's an uppercut to the jaw.
Get those carbs out of my face.
That's why she's so vicious in the ring, because she hasn't had a carb.
Yeah. Shoot, man. I think this is a good place to take a little break right now, though. We'll come back. Brian has a great review coming up. I think we all watched this movie. This is a first timer, too, where I think we're all coming with a little bit of an opinion on.
Oh, no, we all watched Avengers 2, and that went for like
Jurassic World 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is better than both of those things.
Because we agree on something.
So we'll talk about that after the break. Catch you on the flip side. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Riff means once again it's time for Brian's input. Actually, this week it is Brian's homeless reviews, because at this current moment I technically don't have a home. So this week it's Brian's homeless movie review, and I know that you heard Donald Trump lambasting Nabisco in Oreos, but fuck his face. I know you're drinking that Oreo milkshake. Probably got it from Jack in the Box, because I don't know another place that makes it, because it's hot as fuck outside.
Whipped cream or not?
Yeah, you take the whipped cream and cherry, because they just give it to you. You got it. Like, yeah. You don't say, hey, could you make it without the whipped cream and cherry? No, you just fucking take it how it is.
It's free.
Right, exactly. So put down that straw. You might bust your sutures out if you recently got your wisdom teeth removed. And prepare yourself, because I'm going to lay on you a review of a great film entitled Turbo Kid. Turbo Kid, a movie that was released this year, but takes place in the year 1997, which in this film is the future, is a really great comedy, action, drama. I mean, I guess you could throw drama in there, just like sprinkle it a little bit. But in my vision of this film, if I were to really describe it to somebody, I would say it's a mix of Mad Max, Rainbow Bright, Gladiator, every Quentin Tarantino movie ever made, and just a little wink at like every popular 90s movie ever.
It's very accurate.
Yeah. So if you can, you know, kind of stir that jambalaya of movie references and simmer it overnight and then enjoy it the next day, that's Turbo Kid. So you probably won't recognize a lot of actors in this film. Which, you know, can not necessarily be a bad thing. The movie stars Monroe Chalmers as the kid, who I don't think you ever actually get his name.
I think he's the kid or Turbo Kid.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah, I think he's the kid through the entire thing.
Also starring in this film, Lawrence LaBeouf, who could be related to Shia LaBeouf.
I looked it up.
No? Our crack research team has informed me that she is not related to Shia LaBeouf.
I would say with superior acting skills, though.
Oh, absolutely.
at least according to IMDb and Wikipedia, she is not related to Shia.
And you know what? I take Wikipedia as truth. So we're going to go ahead and say not related. An actor that you might recognize, Michael Ironside. He is in the film. He plays the leading antagonist. He's like the kingpin of this post-apocalyptic wasteland. So basically what this movie is about takes place in 1997, which is in the future after a horrific, what we would assume might be a nuclear attack or just some big catastrophic event that reduces people to living off the land. There are no cars in existence. Everyone rides bikes. And water is a very hard commodity to obtain. So that's kind of the driving force in this movie is people trying to obtain water to survive.
The MacGuffin.
Exactly. So, you know, much like Mad Max and gasoline, in this world, it's water. Which, now that you think about it, like Mad Max, who the fuck cares about gasoline? You need water to survive.
That sweet ride, man.
True. And then you can drive, you know, for hours until you die of not having enough water. So, yeah, in this movie, it follows this kid. He is essentially orphaned in a tragic event that unfolds in the film, so much like Batman or Superman, although Superman is raised by two Hicks from Kansas. This individual does not have the parental guidance of a normal upbringing and, follows him around in his journey as he has aged and is trying to survive. Introduce this character, Apple, who just basically shows up in nowhere. This is the better LaBeouf. And they form this like weird friendship, companionship, because they're both kind of young and, you know, there's nobody else around other than guys that want to slit your throat and steal all your belongings. So, you know, the movie just kind of unfolds. There's a lot of action, a lot of violence, a lot of gruesome scenes. This movie is rated R, so that's where I kind of get the Quentin Tarantino comparison, is you just have a lot of
grindhouse.
Yeah, a lot of grindhouse action scenes, which I love. There's also a lot of humor in the movie with a few different characters. You have a cowboy, like an Australian cowboy in the movie.
Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max. But he's like legitimately a cowboy. And he's hilarious.
He's an arm wrestler too.
Yeah,
an arm wrestler. Undefeated for the most part. You'll see. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a really fun ride, and it also mixes in, you know, like, a lot of elements of just great homages to a lot of kind of hacky 90s themes, but, it, like, the whole movie is just, like, a wink to all these other films. So, like, you have a pit where these guys fight to the death, and Michael Ironside's wearing this like stone Greek god Spartan mask, you know, homage to Gladiator. You have such just a ton of scenes comparing it to Mad Max, just on BMX bikes. So if you still have your Diamondbacks out there in the garage collecting dust, you might wipe them off after this, install some pegs, and go have a great time with a random chick that you meet in a playground.
On a swing set.
On a swing set. I mean, it's just a really fun movie, and I can't reiterate enough that it is very violent, very gruesome, but it's also campy, and it doesn't take itself really seriously at all. And I thought the movie was great. The soundtrack is just really a throwback to a lot of, you know, just really fun 90s movies. You'll get a kick out of those. And like, especially for Brett and myself, maybe not Dan so much, because he's born a little bit later. But, you know, us kids that grew up in the 80s and can really appreciate a lot of the 90s nostalgia, because that just hits us right in our...
Oh, it goes right for the gut.
Yeah,
it goes
right for the nostalgic hearts.
The synth, like the high synth, the montage scenes, things like that, like it goes right for the gut of every movie we grew up with.
Yeah, and then speaking of guts, I mean, if a movie has multiple scenes with intestines just flying out of bodies, then I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah.
You got me.
Sign me up.
You had me with large intestine, and then you give me the small intestine as well.
Which is bigger. Better.
Sure.
Both bigger, of those things. Longer, uncut.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely. So, we all watched this film. Again, I thought it was a lot of fun, very entertaining, but... I'm curious about your thoughts on the picture.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, what did you think about the entire thing, man?
Brad, I like your comparisons with the Tarantino, and I kind of summed it up as if you took Sam Raimi from the 80s and he directed a Power Rangers movie, because that's how this movie would play out. That's when I was watching it. It was this, this throwback, this appreciation of pop culture in the 80s and 90s, and how you could idolize a superhero, and in a time of desperate need, a kid needs a hero, and if there's no one to be found, you become it.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the best homage to 80s gore throughout the entire film, with a soundtrack that I have been hearing in my head all day, ever since I've watched that movie. I really liked it. I loved Apple, because her character is such a stark comparison to everyone else in the film, because she's so happy and appreciates everything and is never negative, where everything else has that negative tone. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, what I was thinking about it, too, I mean, I don't think that there's anybody that grew up in our era. If you grew up in the early 80s to, I'd say, late 80s, you're going to enjoy this movie. It's one of those movies that it harkens back on so many things that you grew up with, and you just inevitably enjoy it. And that was what I really enjoyed about the movie, too, was, like, there's certain clips where you see, like, them burning VHSs and things like that or whatever, and you're like, this was totally made by a guy that grew up when I grew up, and I can't tell you the last time I've seen a movie that's done like that. And it wasn't so, I mean, like Brian mentioned, and I think we agreed upon it, it's grindhousey in a good way, but it doesn't cut against what it's supposed to wink its eye at and nod its head to, is say, like, we know what we're taken from, and you grew up with this. We're just making it more appealing now for you as an adult. And that was what I really enjoyed about the movie. I mean, the soundtrack, they had, like I said, synthesizers through the whole, like,
that more synth.
That felt like a
turn that shit up to
a
11
video game.
Yes,
like, that would be like the 90s music, like that synth in the background the whole entire time.
It was like I've heard this before too, and it was like if Mega Man met Mad Max.
Yes,
that is exactly what I would compare it to. Is, I mean, you've got this like video game retro kind of feel to it, where he shoves his glove up in the air, and they got that special effect and things like that. Don't want to give anything away, but it's a really cool part. But, I mean, just certain things like that where you have to expect that the audience is somewhat intelligent to go, like, oh, I know exactly what that reference is.
Yeah.
This is an awesome movie. And I think it's going to hit a really good cult niche of people that enjoy these types of movies.
And, I mean, Michael Ironside, what I remember him from is Starship Troopers. Like, straight up, that's what... When I think of Michael Ironside and I see him, I'm like, oh, Roughneck, that's Starship Troopers. And he brings it so well as Zeus, the antagonist in this film. Like, because there's not this huge plot to go on where you're invested in the characters, you have to have a good villain to bring that other side of the movie. And he does a fantastic job, especially because he's the only villain that really talks.
Yeah.
And so he has to carry the whole weight, and he does it so well. He's so convincing, and it's just a great ensemble, and everything they did in this film is so deliberate, and the choices are just so great. And I know that if I try to, like, show some of my friends this movie who aren't as into films as I am, they won't like it. Just because they may not understand why are the credits, or like, why does the title card look like it's from the 80s? Well, that's because that's what it's supposed to be. Like, it's just, if you enjoy filmmaking, you'll enjoy the movie because you can appreciate everything, or like everything they put into it and every choice they make.
That's what you were talking about too, is you mentioned everything is deliberate. And I think that it is so appreciated in this movie because it's not exponentiated to where you're just like being exhausted about it after the end of the scene or anything. You watch this movie and every single scene actually works really, really well. Like, I can't mention a single scene that I was watching that movie and I was going like, man, like, why is this, like, why does this fit, or why are they over explaining something that is just completely irrelevant to the plot? You know, I mean, they're throwing everything to the side already at the very beginning of the movie. There is no need to explain anything. So that would just hinder the whole progress of the movie. So, I mean, yeah, salute to you guys. You guys rock the movie.
I want to go find my old Huffy from like when I was like 8.
Yeah.
Just in case some shit goes down. So, yeah, we enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think we're all going to do like BMX stunts. I've got a dirt hill in the back, actually, if we want to...
Way too hot for that.
Yeah, actually, it is right now. Yeah, we can bring the... We could bring the dinos out in a few weeks, though, and yeah, try to do that slow-mo.
Maybe in, like, November when it dips below 70 degrees.
Yeah.
When the sun sets. Yeah.
A really cool thing, though, too, I'll mention about this thing, and I think is something I've noticed about this, is I've told a few people about this movie, and the producers, everybody behind this, is actually very, very, like, aware of the following that this movie is bringing. And, like, Ant Thompson, the producer, the guy's done ABCs of Death 1 and 2. I don't know if you guys have seen that before. But, I mean, the guy is
I think this was actually based off a short film from that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
T for Turbo or something.
So he's pretty familiar with this, I'd say, somewhat grindhouse kind of genre. And, like, we were talking about the week before, it's almost like a Wes Craven feel, because it's like, yeah, I've seen this crap so much, man. I remember growing up walking across Best Buy aisles and just seeing a bunch of garbage, like, in the horror section. You know, this guy is reinventing a lot of these types of movies that are actually going to get a lot of people back into this cult horror, cult genre, I would think.
And it is funny, because it does have horror aspects to it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, now I just want to be Turbo Kid for Halloween.
Hopefully we do see a few of those costumes. But yeah, I mean, you guys are absolutely right. The movie knows exactly what it is from the first second and reinforces that throughout the whole movie. And it's just such a fun experience when you do come from a background where you can appreciate all these homages that they do, and to really think about the fact that everything that was, you know, aligned in this film was predetermined, not necessarily by the script that they wrote, but might have been predetermined by all of the inspirations that they had for the for this movie. And it just feels natural. You know, even the ending, which, you know, you might like or you might not like, it just feels right.
Yeah.
You know, everything about this movie feels like it fits. Nothing's forced. And at the end of it, it's just a fun ride. So for my overall
homeless
review, I'm giving Turbo Kid 4 out of 5 quarters. And if you have some spare change, I mean,
I got a shiny nickel. I'll throw that in. Hey, man.
Money's money.
Yeah, you know what you're going to use those quarters for? A new iPhone, I bet you. I see your game here.
No, that's what low-interest credit cards are for.
That's very true. And speaking of new iPhones, there was an Apple event today.
Ooh. They dropped some stuff.
Oh, was there?
I think everyone except Brian knows because Brian's homeless.
I still get Wi-Fi at work.
And mixed reactions, I should say, aplenty from this Apple event. I think people are really excited for the new Apple TV. I think they're like, over the new phone and the new iPad. And some people are afraid the apocalypse is among us because of a new product that Apple is releasing.
What is that? Please tell us more.
Product that has never existed before that they're releasing is called the Apple Pencil.
Ooh, okay. What's that about?
It is for use for the iPad. It's a goddamn stylus. But it's got, you know, Apple shit in it, and it's made to, like, write in it using a 3D touch shit, and it's supposed to be way more accurate than a stylus that has ever been before.
But
it's $100.
Still a fucking stylus?
Yes, and if you ever have listened to what Steve Jobs has said about the Apple technology, is he saw a stylus as a sign of great failure.
Yeah.
And so that's why people are very confused on why Apple decided to go with the Apple Pencil in a high-class stylus for their tablets.
Because Tim Cook doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
He's a moron.
I will say, I can't envision Tim Cook without thinking of Keegan-Michael Key dressed up as Tim
Cook. I could totally
like,
see that.
That's what I envision him
as. I'm not even supposed to talk about this shit right now.
I don't have an iPad. I don't really care. But I did think Steve Jobs is very upset wherever he is in whatever afterlife he believed in, because
he's in iOS 10 right now.
He's in the cloud.
Yeah, and he's in the cloud.
he's Johnny Depp from Transcendence.
Rolling around in the cloud right now.
Absolutely.
Could you imagine? I would be very fearful of a vengeful Steve Jobs that could be in the cloud.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to reappear. Like, Tim Cook's going to do something really fucking stupid, and then Steve Jobs hologram.
Transcendence is just going to come out.
I'm waiting for the Steve Jobs hologram that starts introducing Apple products.
Right?
Because I'm pretty sure we're only like a year and a half away from that.
Yeah.
Another thing they introduced was the new Apple TV, which has gone up in price at a $140 and a $200 model. But the huge difference is the remote, in which it is voice activated and has an AI Siri in it, and will allow you to use voice commands to look up episodes, and will actually do searches where you could say, Siri, find Modern Family episode with Edward Norton, and it'll play the episode that Edward Norton guest appeared in.
Now, realistically, do you think that is that the $50 upgrade right there? Is the remote is included in it?
There's two different memory prices.
Okay,
what the difference is.
So the remote is included on each
in
of
both,
them?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
So you can get the 140, I think that's like 32 gigabytes, and it would be with this. But it'll be, you know, with the remote.
Yeah, so that
the remote
question,
is actually also acting as a game controller, because you will now be able to download apps and games to your Apple TV, and it has the motion sensing software like the new controllers do for Wii U.
Well, that's all I've wanted, is to be able to play Candy Crush on my 50-inch flat screen.
That's all I'm saying is, like, as much as they try to sell these things, at the end of the day, I don't give a shit how well it is at playing whatever game you're playing. All I play on iOS games is Tetris shit. So,
yeah.
I don't need a controller at all. Like, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't matter to me at all.
Clash of the Clans!
Yeah. So I click and I point. Okay, that doesn't...
I only do that while I'm in a waiting room.
Actually, I think a controller function would be more in pairing on a lot of these things.
I think,
but,
well, there's going to be apps created just for the Apple TV.
Yeah.
So you'll see games which are tailored for it. But that, I think that was cool, the voice command, having having the Siri and the remote offer something different, something that Roku, something that Amazon Fire, something that Google Chromecast does not have.
Do you think sorry.
Well, what I wish they would have done is just enabled connectivity between your phone and the Apple TV, as opposed to introducing a new remote that, yeah, is cool and upgraded from the old remote, but it's still nowhere near the capabilities of my phone.
Yeah.
Why not just allow me to use my phone with the Apple TV?
Well, and I think it's so ironic, too, that we're running into this thing where, like, digital has made so much of these problems more immediately inconvenient. Where when you realize, like, back in the day when we all grew up or whatever,
we had
VHSs or CDs or anything like that. Like, we would we would have to get, like, an organization system in. Like, at some point, we had so many CDs, we're like, okay, we got to get, like, a CD organizer in.
You have to go to Office Depot, get the CD rack.
Dude, and that thing was expensive.
Yeah.
Back in the day. That thing was expensive. And, like, think about this now.
Dude, more than 30 CDs, you were fucked. You're paying a lot of money.
And they introduced digital, 5 or 10 years ago on iOSs and all this stuff or whatever, and they're like, we didn't actually predict that people would need organization once they, you know, had capacity of digital. And that's what's funny about it now is you're seeing that Apple releases a product that literally you can shout at it and go, find this one thing on it, and they're going, oh, yeah, like, magic, hey, here, $50 more, we can sell it to you. And that's the organization that you were actually seeking 15 years ago with your other product that just wasn't part of the time.
No, I feel you. I mean, I think one of the worst memories I have is illegally downloading music and then having to manually edit the song, artist, and all those names from LimeWire. And then sometimes they would come out with the name and they'd say featuring in the title of the song, or some would put them in the artist, and then you're completely fucked.
Yeah.
Because then you have 17 of the same artists, but they're all featuring different people.
Or sometimes it would be like Reservoir Dogs intro song, and you'd be like, Bob Dylan doesn't fucking sing that song. That's not Bob Dylan. What are you talking about?
I downloaded Closing Time from LimeWire, and it said Green Day was the band. That is untrue.
Certain things like that, exactly.
Not Green Day.
Exactly. So organization, what they're doing is they're just capitalizing on digital organization at this point, and they're going like, oh yeah, guess what? People have digital CDs now, and they can't figure out where the fuck they are. We're going to sell a voice-commanded app that just finds it for them for $50 more, and this is basically the CD organizer that we had in Best Buy's 15 years ago.
Yeah, and what's frustrating for me, and I say this because I'm such a big Apple fan and opponent, is that I feel like Apple's at a place now where the creativity and the vision that Steve Jobs had put in place has not only disappeared with his death, but, you know, they're just in a spot now where the products they're releasing aren't innovative, they're just different and
they don't,
new.
They do not have the market pressure to make contextually innovative products these days. When you see them today releasing a pencil or whatever, you're like, obviously you guys have such a surplus of money. What are you guys doing venturing into this thing and inventing a product that nobody needs, Dan?
Like the iPad Pro?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is the big selling point is that it's 12.9 inches. Which is basically half of my MacBook. It's the screen of my MacBook.
So they have no market pressure because they're not competing with anybody these days at all.
They know whatever
Samsung
they're going to release
Samsung
is going to sell.
Yeah. Samsung tries, but I mean, that's like a faint knock on the door to them or whatever. Apple just basically goes like, what should we do?
Make a watch.
Well, hey, you're playing around with your zipper. Your zipper doesn't work too well these days. Let's make an iZipper. iZipper. It works really well. Okay. That's not going to fucking work. Whatever. We got $20 trillion on that. I mean, they just are wasting products these days.
I will say, however,
innovation isn't there. The pressure to innovate isn't there.
That has been true when they've made the 4 to the 4S or the 5 to the 5S. And now they're going to be releasing the 6S. And what was different is that they actually added some new, not just upgraded features that were on the old models, but new technology that I think is going to now be replicated in every device moving forward. And that is a pressure, or they called it 3D touch, which means that not only is your touchscreen reading where your finger is, how you're pressing, if you're tapping or if you're holding, but it's going to sense how much pressure you're putting on. So it's going to change the way you access this data. So if you can just lightly put your finger on, it'll show you a preview. If you press down hard, it'll open a new content. But it's going to change how apps work and how mobile gaming works, because that is a now 3D field that you're adding into mobile gaming and to mobile applications that will add this new sense that now Apple's going to release it. Every other touchscreen device is now going to try and replicate because it adds this different field of technology.
Yeah, and see, that's just going to bite me in the ass because I'm one of those impatient fucks that when I have my iPhone that isn't properly working, I'm the one that's just like stabbing it, like just like holding it down, like, get it to open. Can you get it to open? And they're probably going to pre-program this to go like, hey, this guy is being really impatient with this.
Yeah, right. Well, like, maybe if you got a new iPhone,
get him to calm down.
You wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, you know what, Dan? We'll get on that. We will get on that. I am in the market for picking up a new iPhone. We'll elaborate on that in the next few weeks, though, because I need to test out the market. I need to see what Apple's going to do and make sure that they don't fuck anything up.
You just heard, bro. They got the pressure technology. They can't make a goddamn phone waterproof, but they can sense the pressure.
If they made it waterproof, then you wouldn't have to buy a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other cool thing is they're making Harry Potter pictures real. And what I mean by that is that they have added a photo mode, which actually takes 1.5 seconds of continuous video and will show like a photo. It reads as a JPEG and as a photo, but it moves. So kind of like a GIF, but more it's supposed to be the way you view a photo. So like, have you ever seen the newspapers in Harry Potter or the photos? That shit's coming.
Are they going to call it a gag?
I don't know what that means.
Like a GIF and a JPEG? A gag?
Oh, like of a GIF and a gay peg?
Because, I mean, that's what it is, right?
A kid?
What's a GIF?
A GIF.
Yeah.
Sorry. Whatever. Shut up, Dan. I hate you. Dan always brings these technical terms on me at the later part of the episode, and it makes me feel like an idiot. All right. Well, I think that was a good episode, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go stand in line for the new iPad.
I mean, you're homeless, so you got nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least there you won't be lonely.
Right. My new mailing address is the Best Buy in Fashion Valley. Actually, I don't think there is one in Fashion Valley. In Mission Valley.
And I'd just like to do a shout-out, too, to Ant Timpson, at Timpson on Twitter.
Yeah, fuck Ant Thompson, but Ant Timpson.
Ant Timpson, you are the man. It's at T-I-M-P-S-O-N. He is the producer of Turbo Kid, ABCs of Death 1 and 2. The guy direct messaged me and wanted to let me know that he's going to stay connected with me.
Slid into those DMs.
Yeah, but yep. I mean, like, that's what it is like, this guy.
And he only sent 3 dick pics, which in today's day and age is a modest number.
I did not get those. Damn it, Brian, were you on that chain?
It's because he's got the new iPhone, man.
Well,
shit.
Pressure sensitive dick pics.
But that's what it is, though. Is this guy? I mean, I want to give a shout out to, because I was starting to talk about Turbo Kid a week ago on Twitter and things like that. These guys are so on top of that shit. Ant Timpson, hey, I just want to give you a shout out, man. Thanks for being on top of it. Thanks for giving local broadcasts and podcasts just an ear.
Yeah, and I would encourage you, if you want to know more about the film, to also follow their official account at Turbo Kid Film, where you can find any information you need to know about the movie, about what's going on, and news in Turbo Kid world.
And tons of dick pics.
Quit bringing up the goddamn business, Dan.
This is why we don't really allow Brian on Twitter.
Yeah.
But if you want to follow him, it's your choice. At BON619. Or you could follow, like, Brett. At Mises Pieces. Maybe slide into his DMs appropriately. Or myself at Dan_Perez_. You can also follow our official account at Pop_NotSoda. Thank you for listening. Check us out every Monday on iTunes Podcasts and popnotsoda.podbean.com. We will see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Poynton. Yeah.